I appreciate our pulpit committee. They have tried to get the preachers in here that people's requested and try to schedule them the best way that they can, and I appreciate their efforts and the work that they've put forward. You know, it's not an easy task. It's not. And I appreciate the prayer that Brother Meredith prayed. There's things within that prayer that I'll be talking about today. And I have struggled with this, and so many times preachers will get up here behind the pulpit and they say, well, the Lord has laid this on my heart, and that's what I'm going to preach. Well, I'm not going to say that today. I'm going to leave it up to you, that you decide whether it was from the Lord or from man. Lord saved me, as I said earlier, in 1994, during the revival that was going on at this church. Now, I didn't get saved here on the mourner's bench like so many get saved, or out in the back in the pews here in the church. I got saved of my place and business that I had in Franklin. But the revival was going on, and Brother Wren was preaching in that revival, and the helper was Brother Doug Curtis. So, you know, I said earlier as I was talking that in 1994, this was in June, that my name was added to the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, Brother Wren baptized me in the month of June, and my name was also recorded on the row of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. I'm a member here. And the things that I say today, I'm not trying to point nobody out. I'm not trying to promote any certain preacher that has come and stood behind this pulpit. I don't try to campaign, or I don't try to politic or try to influence anybody when it comes to decisions that we have to make within the church. I leave it alone and pray for myself and hoping that everybody else on the decisions that's got to be made, that they're doing the same thing that they're praying, that they're not influenced by man in any way, but are following the leadership of God, Brother Meredith. And that's what your prayer included, that we may follow him. And like I said, I'm not pointing anybody out in the church by no means. I'm not got my sights on one individual. I guess you could say I'm using a scattergun, because what I'm wanting to say and speak about is going out to all the church, all of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. Those that are sitting here in the seats today, and those that maybe are listening on Facebook or will listen on Facebook. There is a time coming, and it's getting close, that we're going to vote who our pastor is going to be. And there have been different things have been said, that I've heard remarks about different people, not just this time around, but at other times, that, well, we need a young preacher. We need a young preacher to bring the young people in. Well, there's a little bit of issues there that go along with that. That if you go bring a young preacher in, more than likely he's got a family. And a lot of them's got children. And then there's the older preachers that maybe are retired, or their families are grown, and they don't have the responsibilities that they once had. And I think about those that say, well, we need a young preacher. That's fine. But they talk about full-time, a full-time minister. There's been discussion of having a full-time pastor or a part-time pastor. I look at Brother Moran and I look at Brother Curtis. Now, I know that here at the church, at times that we've always seemed to have a full-time pastor, it seems like. But I'm sure in their ministry at one time or another that they pastored churches that you probably hold secular jobs, that they had to work and had to take care of their families. And if you look at all of our sister churches right now and you look out at all of them that's got pastors that hadn't retired or whatever, the younger ministers, the younger pastors, they hold secular jobs. They have private jobs, public jobs that they have to go to. You know, a full-time minister has got its benefits. There is no doubt about that. But I want to tell you something too. There is no perfect pastor. There is no perfect pastor. Now, if there's anyone that ever come close, I'd say Brother Moran was a good example of that. And I'll have to say that no doubt that we have probably been spoiled by him because he's labored so hard in the field to take care of us. Whether it's within the church or whether it's visiting the home, visiting the sick, or going to the hospitals or preaching the funerals, whatever it might be, he wasn't perfect, but he's a good example to follow, no doubt. And as I said, there is benefits of having a full-time pastor. But there's something we got to remember. We cannot limit God. We cannot put God in a box and say, well, we only got to have somebody that's a full-time minister. Well, to me, that's putting God in a box because God may have something else planned for us. And you may disagree with me on this, and you have the right to disagree with me. But we need to follow God and the leadership of God. If we pray to God to send us a pastor, we need the one that he wants to put behind the pulpit and not of our own wants and needs and our own thoughts. And that's my thoughts today. I'm going to read, and I might be a little scattered. Like I said, I ain't pointing nothing out to nobody. I'm not trying to promote anybody. I'm just going to try to preach the truth and preach the things that's up on my heart. Chapter 6 in the 6th chapter of Acts. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily of the ministrations. And it says they were multiplied. And we start reading in the first part of Acts, we read about the 120 in the upper room. And then we start reading a little bit further in Acts, and Peter gets up and he starts preaching the gospel, preaching the word, and there was hearts pricked, and it tells us that 3,000 souls was added to the church. And we go a little bit further in Acts, and we read in I think it's the 4th chapter of Acts, to where it says 5,000 men believed. These people were hearing the gospel and the church was being added to. There were souls getting saved and the multitude continued to grow and grow and grow. And that's where it's talking about here that the multitude become great. In verse 2 it says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of the Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The multitude had grown so much that it was taking time from the apostles' time, or I could say the preacher's time, that they were getting away from preaching the gospel. I want you to know that of all the things that Brother Moran has done, The first responsibility was of him when he was called, or Brother Curtis, or Brother Mike, or me, or any of our preaching brother. The first responsibility of a man that is called to preach is preach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. And that's what they were saying here, that they were starting to get so busy that they wasn't getting the time to preach like they should be preaching to the people. So they needed help. And I thank God for our deacons. I think we have wonderful deacons. But the deacons are appointed by the church. It ain't something that just a few people are decided to say, well, we want to make this man a deacon. We want to make Brother Brent a deacon, or Brother Copus, Brother Collins. The church searched out for those that had the qualifications that Paul wrote about in Timothy, and these men were chosen to be deacons. And I think we have good deacons. But a lot of the responsibility that seemed like us brothers and sisters try to put on the pastor, that some of the load need to be put on our deacons. That they are helpers for those that have been called to preach the Word of God. Our pastors, they cannot be everywhere at the same time. I know one that can, and that's our Lord Jesus. He can be everywhere. But when we select pastors and expect our expectation of a pastor, they cannot do everything and they can't be everywhere at the same time. But I don't have no doubt that they would be praying for us wherever they're at. And what I'm trying to say here is that we have chosen deacons to be a helper for the ministers, for the pastors of the church. And if we don't have confidence in them, but if we don't have faith in them or have faith in their prayers, that they can even visit the sick and help us out, to give the ministers more time to preach the gospel, to preach the Word of God. We don't need to be narrow-minded. We need to take off our blinders. You know, we've had preachers for several weeks now, for months, coming in every Sunday morning to preach the Word. And you know, not every preacher is alike. Not every preacher has the same personality. Everyone's different, but we, as human beings, we get attracted to maybe the way they present themselves behind the pulpit. Maybe you've formed a relationship sometime or another and you've got a strong friendship with them. Maybe you just like the way they dress or don't dress, the way they preach or the way they don't preach. We make decisions and we look at people and decide things. But you know what? We need to look to God for the decisions that we make. We need to be in prayer for the decisions that we make, that we can get our selfish ways and our selfish needs out of the way, that God can put the man that we really need behind this pulpit. Do we have the faith for that? That we can get our own ways out of the way, our own thoughts out of the way, and be prayerful to God that He would put the man that we need? Where is our faith, church? Where is our faith? That's what we got to depend on. God knows who we need. And it ain't necessarily who we might want, some of us. And like I said, I'm not here to promote the young or the old or nothing. I'm just telling you that we need to think about who God wants behind this pulpit. And you know what? In prayer, if we get in prayer like we need to be, and as I said, my name is on the roll here at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. Because I'm a member of this body. And I'm in the same situation that y'all are probably in. But we need to be focused on God and not our will, but God's will of the man that will be standing behind this pulpit when we get a pastor. You know, after Judas had went out and hanged himself and committed suicide, there was only 11 apostles left, and they needed another one to take his place. And Matthias, him and Barsabbas, I might have pronounced that wrong, but there were two men chosen, and then they cast lots, and Matthias was one chosen to replace Judas. But you know what they did? It says they prayed about it. Before they cast lots, before they made a decision, they prayed to God about it, that God would reveal the one that needed to be behind that pulpit. Talk about preachers that maybe hold secular jobs. I understand the benefits that we need of a full-time, but I also know that Paul, you think about this, Paul was an apostle. Paul was a writer of the 14 books in the Bible, the epistles. He took many missionary journeys. He started many churches. But you know what? And I just maybe have only know of one record, and it might be others. But you know what? He worked doing his ministry. He says he had a trade. His trade was a tent maker. And most of y'all have read that and know that he was a tent maker. And he went, and as he was in Corinth, he lived with Aquila and Priscilla for a while. But it says, and they wrought together, meaning they worked. They made tents together. That was his trade. Now, I don't know how often that he worked, but he still had to work. He still at times had to provide his way. And as I said, there's so many of our churches nowadays, they have preachers that hold secular jobs, hold public jobs, because churches can't support them and can't support the needs that they're in need of. If God is in it, we can't go wrong, brothers and sisters. We can't go wrong. Just a few examples when God's in it of the things that can happen. Remember when Moses were bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea? They didn't have nowhere to go, but God parted the Red Sea that they could escape from Pharaoh and his soldiers, and they could cross on dry land over to the other side. They escaped the Egyptians. God was in that. God was in that. We think about the contest at Mount Carmel of Elijah, when he was having a contest with the 450 prophets of Baal. And they said, you know, let's make an altar. And you pray to your God. Pray to your God that he might answer and be able to light up this altar and set it on fire. Well, the prophets of Baal, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and their God could not answer. But Elijah prayed, and God brought down fire, and he burned up that altar and everything around it. And it was soaked down. He had them take barrels of water and soak that altar and that sacrifice, and it even filled up the ditches around it. And it says it burned the sacrifice, it dried it up, it dried burned the stones, it burned the dust, done everything. God answered. Brothers and sisters, we serve a true and living God that can provide for us, that can do for us, that can lead us into the direction that we need to go in. There's other stories. What about David and Goliath? A little young man, a young boy, killed such a big giant. Who was in that? God was in that. Daniel in the lion's den, because he prayed and wouldn't obey the decree that went out. He was cast in the lion's den. And they came that next morning, and he said he was okay. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said he was okay that, the lion's mouth had not touched him. And you know how ferocious and how fearful lions are, that he was cast in with lions and their mouth had never touched him. Who was in that? God was in that. Another example. What about the virgin birth of Jesus? Mary, a virgin that didn't know a man. And when I say no, it's never laid with a man. But she became pregnant. She was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. That was a miraculous birth. Miraculous. Who was in that? God was in that. The resurrection of Christ. A man that was hanging on the cross. Died. His blood was shed. He gave up his life and he was buried. But in the third day of that tomb, we all know the story. He arose. He was made alive. Who was in that? God was in that. But I can tell you a story that something that God wasn't in, that he disagreed with. You know, there was a time back in the Israelites' day that God appointed judges. And they're the ones that basically ruled over and took care of the businesses of the Israelites. But the Israelites decided they wanted to be like the pagan nations, that they wanted a king to rule over them, that they wanted to be like all those ungodly nations, that they wanted a king. God wasn't in this. God was not in that. And God even told them of the consequences of them choosing a king. And you know, Samuel was grieved, and God tried to explain to him, but Samuel, it ain't you they rejected, it was me they rejected. Well, God, I will say, allowed them to have a king and told them of all the bad circumstances that would happen to the nation of Israel if they did that. But you know what? They went on their own selfish ways, their own wants and needs, instead of really following what God needed to do. And that would still be king over them. To be their guide, to be their ruler. But they chose otherwise. And you know what? The things that God warned them about, that were happening to their sons and their daughters and to their lands, it all come true. And I could go back and we could read that, but I'm not going there. But I'm telling you, God wasn't in that. And Israel suffered from that. There isn't anything more than the devil would like is to get his foot on a hold here at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. The devil does not want this church to prosper. The devil does not want lost people to come in and hear the true gospel and be saved by his grace. The devil don't want that. And we don't need to let the devil get set in here to where he causes so much confusion. I've sat in conferences and I've sat in meetings and I've sat in where we've had votes, even a calling on pastors before, and say there's a third voted for this man and another third voted for this man and another third voted for this man, and there was maybe just only a few votes difference within that election. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I'm sorry, but honestly, I don't feel like God is in that. How can he take a certain group and say, that's who I want you to have, and how he can take another group of brothers and sisters, this is who I want you to have, and take another group and say, this is who I want you to have? That's confusion, people. And we know who the author of confusion is. It's the devil. But I'm telling you, I know that every man cannot be pleased, and I'm talking man and women. I'm talking about all the brothers and sisters. I know that everything a preacher preaches, some agree with them and some might not agree with them. Like I said, there might be some that like certain people for different reasons. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to get serious in prayer about who our under-shepherd is going to be. Whether it's a young man and he still holds a position in public works, whether it's a preacher that has got his family grown and he's retired and he can come in here. I'm just trying to open up our hearts and minds that we get to the place that we need to get to. I know it's been tradition that we've always had a full-time pastor. And I've said earlier, I understand the benefits of that. But we, regardless what the circumstances are, we need the man that God has intention to put behind this pulpit. Let his will be done and not that of our own. Let God's will be done. The devil, as I said, would love to get in here and cause so much confusion and destroy the harmony that we have. And I believe we have good harmony right now. And we need to hold on to that, and we don't need to lose that. Let's follow and feel after God when that time comes that we get in harmony and one accord and we put the man who we need behind here, regardless of the circumstances, that we get who God wants. We need that. We need that. I want our church to prosper. I want lost souls to be saved. As I talked about that when Peter preached and as they were preaching the gospel there in Acts, how they were being added to the church daily. I want people to be added to the church here at Fairview Memorial. I want their names on the Lamb's Book of Life is what I want. And second, I want them to be obedient to God and be baptized and become a member of this church. But before they do that, they've got to be saved. I don't have anything against any preacher that has come and preached for us during these past several weeks, these months. I believe every one of them has come and preached the Word of God. I believe every one of them have. But I want to follow God. And I want our Lord to show us who we need. And you know what? We get that man, whoever it might be. I think we'll be blessed with souls getting saved. And we'll be in harmony with one another. Don't let the devil get a foothold on us, church. We don't need that, but we can allow it to happen. Be strong. Have the faith. I thank you for listening to me. That's my message. Be a word from anybody before we dismiss. I believe in the power of prayer. And I think there is something that we need to do. I feel like as a church, those that can and will. These members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, and some of you are visitors, and you come as much as our own members do. But those that can and will, while Brother Strode gets us a song, I would like us to come forward. And I would like to have an altar prayer that we can come together as one and pray for the thing that this pulpit is in need of. God bless you, my prayers. Thank you for listening. Those that can, come and we'll gather at the altar and pray.
Number 194, verses 1 and 4. Have thine own way. Absolute sway, fill with thy strength.